And Susie's going to bring our Bible readings to us.
Good morning. Today's readings come from the Good News Bible version, at Luke 15, verses 1 to 10, and then Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Luke 15, the lost sheep. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost, and you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbours and together say to them, I am so happy, I found my lost sheep, let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. The lost coin. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says to them, I am so happy, I found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. The love of Christ. For this reason, I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name. I ask God, from the wealth of his glory, to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your heart through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long and how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love and be so completely filled with the very nature of God. To him, by means of his power working in us, able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the truths that it reveals to us about who you are and about all that you think of us and all of your hopes and plans and purposes for our lives. Lord, help us this morning to have ears that hear all that you want to say to us. May your Spirit minister deep within our hearts and help us to receive your word, to be inspired and challenged and changed as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story of a little girl, Sally, and Sally loved to walk to school every day. On a cloudy day, with rain forecast later, Sally was adamant that she still wanted to walk there and back. So her mum said, okay, you can walk as long as you take your umbrella with you. When school had finished later that afternoon, Sally started the walk back. And just as she left the school gates, the rain began to fall. Doesn't it always happen like that at school pickup time? Soon the wind was howling, the rain was pouring down, but Sally just opened up her umbrella and continued to skip home. Suddenly, there was a flash of lightning and then a huge rumble of thunder. Sally's mother grabbed the car keys and raced round towards the school. It wasn't far for her to get home, but she was just worried that Sally would feel afraid being out in the huge storm that had just suddenly descended. turn in a corner in the car, she spotted Sally walking along in the rain with her umbrella up. Every time there was a flash of lightning, Sally would stop walking, she'd look up, and she'd smile. And then she'd carry on again. Sally's mother watched her little girl do this 3 times as she drove up towards her. Stopping next to her, Sally clambered into the car, and her mum said as they drove off, "Whatever were you doing, Sally? Why did you keep stopping in the rain and keep standing there smiling?" Sally said quickly, "Well, I've got to smile, Mummy. God keeps taking pictures of me." That was a lovely story. Sadly, we all know that lightning is nothing like God taking pictures. But actually, I think there's something quite significant in the reaction of little Sally that we need to learn from. Because although her mum was worried about how frightened and distressed Sally might be, with all the thunder and the lightning surrounding her, Sally managed to do something that can actually be very hard for us all. She found God in the middle of the storm. Today is a day that is special and may also be difficult for us for many reasons. On Remembrance Sunday, we remember those who have lived and died in the service of others, in particular, all those who have given their lives to serve the country. And this morning, we're also taking time to remember all friends and loved ones who have died as well. Each one of us here will face storms in our life. Grief and loss, suffering and war are probably some of the biggest storms that we'll ever encounter. And at those times, it can be difficult to find God. We can feel lost in a mist of doubts or in a sea of questions or in the fog of pain. And we wonder where God is in the middle of those moments. But God doesn't leave us when life gets difficult. On the contrary, he is there walking with us, not leaving us to suffer on our own, but wanting to help us through the pain, wanting to provide comfort and strength through the darkness. And I chose those verses this morning that Susie read to us, because I think they are part of the reason that we can have confidence that God is with us even in the difficult times. Because these verses help to reveal to us the depth of God's love for us. The first stories that Susie read may well be familiar to you. Stories that Jesus told to demonstrate God's love. Luke tells us that these stories were actually a response to a criticism from the religious leaders who were grumbling because Jesus was spending time with people who they considered to be sinners and actually unworthy of Jesus' time or attention. Jesus wanted them to know that God loved and valued every single one of those people, and so should they. But there's something here that I want us to try and grasp this morning, and that is the extent of the search that Jesus spoke about to find what was lost. First, there was the sheep who went missing. As Jesus tells the story, he portrays the sense of urgency to find that lost sheep. It didn't matter to the shepherd that he still had 99 other sheep. The one that was lost was significant. The one that was lost was so valuable, so important, it warranted a full-on search. Likewise, the woman who lost her coin searched diligently until it was found. These stories cry out to me of the depth of God's love, that he actively seeks us out because he wants us to be welcomed back into his love. I think that's a challenging and a reassuring message for all of us, but particularly on a day like today, when we know the pain of losing someone, when we see the horror that war brings to our world, when we face any other pain in life, we may well find ourselves in a place of the seeker, not looking for the sheep, but actually having lost sight of God, perhaps even feeling like we've begun to lose faith. And yet these parables whisper that in those times, actually, while we think we're a seeker, we've become lost. And unknowingly, we've wandered into a place where we can be found by God. God's love reaches out to us. He never overlooks us. He never thinks us as being unworthy or unlovable. And when we struggle to see where God is, I think we can be sure that actually he is seeking us out, longing to bring us back into the security of his love. And what is this love like? Well, Paul gives us a glimpse of the love of Christ through those beautiful words that we heard from Ephesians 3, where he tells us that he wants us, together with all of God's people, to know how broad, how long, how high, and how deep is Christ's love. It's a love that's so broad that it encompasses all. We've already mentioned that the Pharisees didn't like Jesus spending time with people that they didn't want to associate with. They expected him to spend time with them. But Jesus, he ate with tax collectors. He spoke to women. He reached out to children. His love encompasses all. And as such, the love of Christ reaches out to you and to me, to people like us, to people who aren't like us. There are times, I think, for all of us when we do feel we're not worthy of the love of Christ. We know the truth about ourselves. How could Jesus possibly love us? But the love of Christ is all-encompassing. And as undeserving as every one of us is to receive that love, yet it reaches out to draw us in. It enfolds you and me and those like us. And it reaches out to those who are not like us. It is an all-encompassing love. And the love of Christ is so long that it reaches to eternity. It's an everlasting love that knows no limits or bounds. The love of Christ is an eternal love. For me, one of the qualities of the love of Christ is the security that it brings. Isn't that what real love does? It's dependable. It brings stability. It's strong enough that even when everything else has gone, this love remains. It's this element of Jesus' love that impacted me greatly in my own journey of faith. As a teenager, my friendships at school were very unreliable. Perhaps school days can be a bit like that, I know. Friendships come and go, people make up and break up all the time. But I seem to have more than my fair share of what I now call holiday and sickness friends. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The ones where someone wants you to sit with them because their friend is away, they're on holiday or they're sick. But as soon as their friend comes back, they don't want to know you again. But it was through that experience that I saw a glimpse of the eternal love of Christ. A love that is everlasting and never changing. A love that is constant, because Jesus is always interested in me, always wants to pay attention to me, cares about every detail of my life. A love that is so long that it will last forever. And it was that love that drew me to Jesus. And I know the love of Christ is so long, it will always be there for you and for me, seeking us out and drawing us in. Even when everything else that we trusted has gone, the love of Christ goes on. Those words in Ephesians talk about how broad and how long it is, but they also talk about how high Christ's love is. The love of Christ reaches to the heavens. It is love in perfection because it comes from God himself, and God is love. It's a love that is unconditional, a love that is forgiving, a love that sees the best in us through the sacrifice of Jesus. We can't win it, we can't earn it, we can't increase it, because it is a perfect love. The love of Christ is so deep, it is simply unfathomable. It's beyond our comprehension. Paul says in verse 19, he wants us to know God's love, although it can never be fully known. How can we know what Paul says is actually unknowable? Well, the love of Christ is beyond our understanding, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to understand it. So Paul's prayer encourages us to press on, to seek a greater understanding of the love of Christ. As we think about the depth of Christ's love, we need to remember this is not an academic exercise. We're not trying to gain knowledge of what God's love is like. We're trying to experience that love and know it personally. So Paul encourages us to grasp how broad, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. This is the love that is ours to know. And it's ours to know through relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to win, am I? You can't beat that. They are fantastic. So Paul encourages us to know how broad, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. They will go around the corner in a minute, so you'll probably hear them again in a minute. He says in verse 17 that Christ should dwell in our hearts, that we should have our roots and foundation in his love. We can only begin to grasp that through relationship with Jesus. And like any relationship, that takes time, energy, and focus. The love of Christ is there, but we need to soak it in. We need to let it touch our lives. We need to allow ourselves to be found. I had a picture come to mind as I was reflecting on these words. You know when a toddler has a tantrum and they just throw themselves onto the floor and they're banging their fists and they're crying and they're screaming because they can't have what they want. There are times when you try and pick up that toddler and try and console them and comfort them. And they push you away and they scream at you and they don't want anything to do with the one person who could actually give them what they want. And sometimes I think we can do that. There are times when we're in danger of pushing away God's love. And in that case, not allowing ourselves to be found. And I felt very strongly that God was saying to some of us this morning that we need to get to that point where eventually that toddler dissolves into a parent's arms and submits to let go and receive that love that God has for us. It's a love that as we know more of it, it transforms us. It fills us with a measure of the fullness of God and it pours out through us to touch the world around us. This love is ours to experience today, and it's ours to share with the rest of the world. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the depth of your love to each one of us. I pray for those of us this morning who are struggling, who need you to find us, but perhaps not wanting to be found. Help us to submit, to give in to you, to trust in you and allow you to love us. Help us to receive your love afresh today. And Lord, for those of us who have experienced your love, who know something of it, help us to press on to know it more, to know how wide, how long, how high and how deep it really is. And in so doing, transform each one of us that we might reflect that love to those around us. Let's us not try and keep it to ourselves, but let's share it to people like us and to people not like us, that they too might experience that wonderful love. In Jesus' name, amen.